This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on January 20, 2026 in Seneca Falls, New York.
Good afternoon to each one here. Welcome. It's been a joy for me to be here already this morning. We've heard a lot of good teaching. For about 20 years, I lived a mile from my business, and I could easily go home for lunch, of which we did often. And after lunch, I enjoyed going on my recliner and kicking back and taking a 10-minute nap. So please don't do that to me this afternoon. Be awfully embarrassing if I'd look out there and you all were taking a nap for me. We read in Psalms 24, verse 3, that who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? It asks a question. And it said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And then there's a promise, and he shall receive the blessings of the Lord. That's why we're here this morning, this afternoon, in this session. So what is the importance of the presentation? Why is it important to find balance in our church life, brotherhood, in our family life, and in our work? What's the focus? So when we talk about a balanced diet, what are we talking about? Why concerned about our diet? It's our health, right? When we're riding a bicycle, and we're going down the road and we talk about balance, we're trying to avoid a wreck or a casualty. So when we talk about balance in our business, we're trying to avoid a wreck, we're trying to avoid a casualty. That can be for our own soul, our marriage, our brotherhood relationships. It is so important. But when our hearts overflow with a deep gratitude towards God for his many blessings upon us, when we realize that we've been blessed richly through the saving of our souls, through the blood of Jesus, and we've got this beautiful woman by our side, and the children in our home that we have brought in this world together that have a living soul, it becomes really important, and it bears a lot of thought. So let's look at prioritizing at the home. It would help us a lot if we could zoom out and look in on our homes. You look at each one of your children and just take a look at what actually is on your list as a daddy. It helps to prioritize if you look at the leader in devotions, family worship, the provider for food and clothing, establish family values, guidance, discipline, take time to fish, prioritize school children's camping trips, maternity visits. Please, young men, if you're here, young married and participating children, if there's a maternity visit, be sure that you go along. Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to visit Elizabeth, who was expecting John the Baptist, and when they met, the babe leaped in the womb. And you don't think they know what goes on in there? I believe relationships of a father and his son or daughter starts in the womb. Hunting seasons, time to camp, a planned trip to grandpa's. Just take a look at your list. Maybe you need to write one out yourself. But some of the best memories that I have with the children growing up, four of them are married now. Two of the youngest daughters are still at home, but we chased them little wild critters all over the place. We went rabbit hunting, we went deer hunting, and we have some of the most specialist memories while hunting. It all comes back, a lot comes back to time. Let's look at church. And I'm going to lead up to something here. I have a story at the end of this session. I would like to give a story. They say there's nothing that carries freight like a story. If you go into Luke and you look at Jesus' teachings, 60% of his teachings is by story. Look at the prodigal son. You look at some of this Jesus' teachings, it was a lot in a story form, and I have a story here that I would like to tell you. And a lot of these points that I hit on up to the story, we're going to come back and touch again. The devil has a plan for your family, and that is to destroy it. And do you, Dad and Mom, do you have a plan to save it from destruction? So we have trustee, building committee, school boards, funeral directors, food committees, Sunday school teachers, church frolics, community work bees, CM projects, youth leaders, the list goes on and on. And you start putting that, start putting some of those on your name, on your list. We all need them. We have to have people in the church that take responsibilities. Let's go to work. This here is our band mill. I'm a sawmiller by trade. It's about all I know. I tell people I was born on a sawdust pile. My grandfather had a sawmill and my daddy had a sawmill, and it's what the boys and I have done. You're the owner, you're the manager, you do the schedules, you do the maintenance, sales, your procurement, employee relations, safety, efficiency, production, and quality, and the list goes on and on. And you, I'd like for you all to make it personal today. If you're a farmer, if you're a landscaper, your fabricator, make your list personal to you. So why such a big deal? Why are we here and we're so concerned about prioritizing and finding balance? That is your navigators. You're a first-rate navigator, and your wife and your children are looking to you for guidance, for direction. It's my ultimate goal that the six children that were born into our home would have their names written in the book of life, and at judgment day we could hear those welcome words, "Come home, my child." That's my ultimate goal as a daddy. I was very, very aggressive, very adamant in business. I love business. I love sawmilling and production and efficiency. It's something that makes me tick. But where I think you would find my heart the deepest is that my children could go with me into glory. Sometimes it goes a little later into the evening, and I have a lot of Amish that work for me, and sometimes the taxi leaves, and one or two will stay there with me, and they'll help me finish up the project. And then afterwards, I'll take them home, and a lot of the young married daddies that work for me are eager to get a little extra overtime. Maybe they got an extra payment or want to buy a horse or something, so they're willing to work a little later, and if we have something, need to change an arbor or a bearing, they'll stay there and help me. And then afterwards, I'll take them home, and it's so interesting. It's so neat to drive into their home, and you come up into this circle drive, and out come the children. The door flies open, and comes the children. Daddy's home. There was once a very successful businessman said that the greatest success that he has ever attained was nose prints on the window. Are your children standing at the living room, and their noses smudged up against the window, watching for Daddy to come home? If not, I'd like for you to change your tactic. Are you moving away from fear, or are you moving towards something you love? First-rate navigators always has in mind that other people are depending on them and their ability to chart a good, safe course for all those that follow. In this case, your wife and children, it's the most precious thing that you have. You can build all kinds of businesses. You can tell me all kinds of success. But if you don't have your wife and your child with you, I consider you a miserable failure. The greatest success a man can achieve is nose prints on the window. Don't forget that when you think about making another purchase. Make sure that you've got time for that child. Are you moving away from fear, or are you moving towards something you love? My father is deceased. He was a good daddy. He taught me a lot of good principles. There was one thing that we struggled with at home. I say it very carefully, and I say it for benefit, nothing negatively. But my father had a terrible temper. He had a real anger problem, and it's devastating, people. Friends, it's devastating when there's anger involved, and often what happens when there's business stress, when there's difficulties, that it seems like we get a little short-fused. And it cannot happen in a Christian home. Neither should it happen in a business. Finding balance in your work and your church is a lifestyle. If you go to page 31, there, finding balance in work and family and church is a lifestyle. You can't say that the first 2 hours I'm going to go into business, and then I'm going to save an hour at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for my family. It all gets mingled together, or so I found it. So I was sitting in my office one morning. It was right after daylight. I was sitting there, and I was diligently working on a quote for a new account for a pallet customer, and I really needed to get it done. And I hear a rattle of the golf cart, and I look up, and here comes my son on the golf cart, and he comes up, and he comes to a screeching halt. The one tire was the only brake that held, and I can hear it come sliding up to the front door, and off he jumps, and in he comes in, and he plops a trail camera on my desk, and he says, "Look, Dad, look what we got." And by the grace of God, I was able to push that quote sheet back. I pushed back my papers, and I grabbed that camera, and I looked at it, and he had two beautiful white-tailed buck on that trail camera, and was he excited. I took a few moments, and we talked about where we could hunt him, which tree stand that we should go into, what part of the day would be best to hunt him. He grabbed that camera back on his golf cart, and out the lane he went, and Daddy had time for him. Right in the middle of work. You can't schedule that stuff, friends. It's going to take some balancing and some prioritizing to be able to seize the moment. If you're in business, grow it slowly. John Wesley said, "I judge all things only by the price you shall gain in eternity." If you grow your business too fast, you will stretch yourself and your resources too quickly. When that happens, the core cause often is a casualty. And sad to say, often it's our own dearest family that suffers. Look at that land plot. How much land do you want to buy? There was a dear couple on the way to the attorney's office for yet another closing on a farm, and his dear wife looked over at him and said, "How much land do you want?" Do you know what his answer was? "Only what joins me." There's no end to that, folks. Somewhere you're going to have to draw the line that this is enough. If you keep on buying and you keep on adding, that only gets a bigger perimeter that's joining you that you're going to have to purchase. Values can be traded for values of wood, hay, and stubble. Be sure that you don't trade your values that you have as a daddy for values of hay and stubble. Check to make sure the vision or its revision has not been muddied. We had some really good teaching this morning already, and I'd really like for you to what do you think you can handle? 5% of what you hear today that you'll remember in a year from now? It's hard to remember everything, but just remember a few things that you've got a plan, you've got a vision, and try to maintain that. If you're not careful, your plan can develop legs and go beyond the established perimeter of the allotted time and funding. I'd like to talk about time management. You can save time, but you cannot store it. I'm going to tell you a story, and it's humbling to me to share this, and it's a little personal. But I share this presentation with passion, but I don't want you to think that I've attained. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I'm being an aggressive, impulsive. It doesn't take me long. If I need 10 blocks to build something, you give me 3 or 4 and I'll at least get started once. So with that mentality, you can often make mistakes. One forenoon, I was about an hour and a half from home and I was building a sawmill. That's something that I really enjoy. I enjoy building mills. Building a sawmill, and we had it going on. There was a contractor there putting metal on the roof. There was a contractor there installing the electricity. We were putting 3-phase in, electrical panels. We were setting up equipment, hydraulic units, and it was a moving on. We had efficiency at the place, and my phone rings. And I reach in my pocket, and I look, and I said, 270 number. I said, I wonder who this is. So it was noisy in the background. I said, hello. And there was this timid voice. I said, how are you doing today? And I said, fine. And he said, what's the weather like in Kentucky? And I said, it's beautiful here. And I was beginning to wonder what this young man wanted. wondered why I'm doing well or wondered what the weather was like in Kentucky. And I said, who is this? And he said his name. And I said, well, why do you still have a 270 number if you live in the West? And he said, I'm not sure. But he said, I was wondering if I could ask your daughter for her friendship. It wasn't good timing at all, friends. And I messed up. I really messed up. I said, no, you can't. You'll have to wait a year. I said, we're facing some difficulties at home. We're considering to move our family. I'm building a sawmill right now, and she's teaching school. I said, call me in a year from now, and I hung up the phone. But it wasn't right, friends. That's not right. I know it has a side of humor to it, but it's not right. That young man had prayed to his Heavenly Father. He had talked to his mom and daddy. What do you think he said when he went back and mom and dad were there and he said, what did Paul have to say? It wasn't a good response that he brought back. Time management, folks. It's really, really important that we balance ourselves in our workload so that when something like that happens, that we don't kill it. I started home that afternoon, and I got to thinking about our phone conversation. I said, man, did I mess things up? I wonder what they think of me now. So I called them a few days later, and I said, son, I didn't do right. I said, let's do this conversation again. And it all worked out. A few months later, they started dating. They live on the same farm as us across the creek, so I guess he forgave me. He's in partnership with me in a trust business. And we're doing fine. We're doing okay. But I wanted to give you that illustration that if you don't prioritize, if you make yourself too busy and you get too fired up, you're going to mess up. Wherever you go, there you are. When you show up at work, at church, you're much better off if you show up fully engaged. Be alert. Be involved. At the supper table, if your children are saying something and they quit talking and then mom looks over and says, did you hear? And you say, huh? You're not there, folks. You're probably trying to get that next track of timber or something and it's not going to work. There was a friend of mine who was about to get married. 4 weeks up to the date of marriage, of their wedding day, they were really, really busy cleaning up the place. There was friends was coming in, family was coming together, and they were really looking forward for this wedding day. And the week before the wedding turned out to be a beautiful day to make hay. And they, being large farmers, had a big hay field, and they cut down a lot of hay, and they put up 5,000 square bales of hay the week before the wedding. Got it all in. And it was 2 days before the wedding. Daddy said the neighbor man just called and said he has some hay down. He would like to have some help. And he having a lot of brothers, Daddy was going to go help. And Mom got him into the living room and said, please, Daddy, can we please not? We are 2 days away from our son's wedding. And can we just relax a little bit and enjoy some time as a family before our son gets married? And the groom-to-be walks in while Mom was pleading to Daddy. And Mom looks up and sees her son, and she breaks down crying. And she was there sobbing, and she was trying to hold Daddy from just going at it another full tilt just before the wedding. So there they were, Mom crying, groom standing there, and the bride-to-be walks in, observes the scene. It's kind of awkward. Daddies, you can push it too hard doing a good thing. You have to prioritize, or you're going to mess up. Efficiency. Let's talk a little bit about some efficiency. You can go through life and you can have your firewood boxes full beside your wood stove. You can have your trash cans empty. You can have your knives sharp, your flashlights bright. When you grab your flashlight to go out, they're ready. You can see good. Or you can go through life with your wood box empty, your trash cans full, your knives dull, your flashlights dim. I think you get the picture, right? It makes such a difference when you go through life and you are keyed in and you're on to this thing. Or you, as always, it's something a mess and you can't find your stuff. So efficiency is big when you go to prioritizing. Dump the garbage. Page 33, you'll find that reliable information must proceed from a reliable source. The most reliable source of all tells us to focus on things that are true and honest, pure and lovely, and of good report. Philippians 4, verse 8. You'll be much, much more efficient if you focus on things that are lovely. There are some neurotransmitters in your mind that get excited when you think positiveness. It excites another positive transmitter. And if you think negative, it also excites the negative. And what you dwell on most is what you gravitate towards and is what grows. So please, please think positive. Don't spend any time on that conspiracy news. You look on things that are true, those that are pure and lovely. There was one businessman that said he makes a distinct moment of first of each month that I dump the garbage. Sometimes I go through the day and do you do that? You drive down the road and you start feeling that hot feeling, you're thinking something negative, you're upset someone, and all of a sudden you say, whoa, whoa, Paul, where are you going with this thing? Shut it down, get rid of some of those negative thoughts and think positive. It helps you so much in prioritizing. Let go of past hurts, unfair acts towards you, and forgive freely. There was a 12-year-old boy who was sitting on a park bench, and he was squirming around in excruciating pain. He had his fists clenched, he was clenching his teeth, and he was moving around on his park bench in excruciating pain. There was an older gentleman who was walking around the park, and he walked up and he said, son, he said, what's wrong? And he said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. He said, really? You're sitting on a bumblebee? And he said, yes, sir. And the old gentleman said, why don't you get off? And he said, sir, I think I'm hurting the bumblebee worse than it is me. If you do that, folks, there's some humor to that, but get the seriousness of it. If you're struggling with bitterness, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, that bumblebee is hurting you a whole lot more than you are it. Silent gratitude benefits no one. Practice it here now on earth. I tore my insides out to trying to please my daddy, and I couldn't get a positive comment from my father. And I love my dad. He taught me a lot of good. But it was really hard to get a confirmation from my father, and it has affected me through life, is I will pull hard to try and get a confirmation from my daddy. Matthew 3:17, write that down and look it up. What did God do to his son when he came up out of the river? And you can find it in 1 Peter. It said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Confirmation in a man's life is huge, folks. And do it to your son. You might as well start practicing now. If you hope to get to heaven, they say there's thousands upon ten thousands upon thousands that are saying, worthy is the Lamb. So start practicing on your family. Don't let the pendulum swing too far. We're talking about prioritizing, and we're talking about not working too much. But you can. You can say, all right, my dad worked from sun up till sundown. We worked 14, 16-hour days, and I ain't going to do it, and I'm not going to expect it of my children. But be careful that you don't swing too far the other way. I've got some friends that said their son's not going to have to go through what they did. And the children didn't do the best. They're sort of cream puffy. They just don't pull the load. When the power of love is greater than the love of power, then there's peace at home, at church, and at work. That's a phrase that you need to stick in a little piece of paper, and you need to stick it in your pocket and occasionally look at it. When the power of love is greater than the love of power, there's peace at home, at church, and at work. Often we create our own turbulence by neglecting to spend time with God, and also neglect to spend time with our children. There was a young boy, there was a second grader, that was struggling in school. Finally, the teacher brought it to the school board and said, look, we're going to have to do something. I've tried everything. I tried a rewards program with this boy. I tried discipline. I kept him in for recess. I made him do his lessons, homework. Nothing's working. I'm at loss. I don't know what to do. And the chairman was a wise old fella, and he sat there and listened to the teacher, and then he said, may I have a few days? They gave him that. They said, sure. So the chairman knew this daddy of this son very well, and he was a very successful businessman, very well-known man in the community. So the chairman takes Fred out for breakfast. They're out for breakfast. After breakfast is over, they scoot back. And of course, this businessman knows it. He didn't just take him out for breakfast. There's probably some agenda. And the chairman says, Fred, we're having a problem with your son in school. And he said, yes. He said, can I ask you a question? How is it at home? And he said, well, I must admit, he said, the last few months have been really rough. He said, I took on a new account, and I said, I'm working overtime. And he said, how much time do you spend with your son? And he said, well, not much. And he said, can I ask you to do an experiment with me? And he being a successful businessman, didn't want to embarrass himself. He said, sure. So he said, I want you every day to spend 1 hour with your son, one-to-one. You just do something with your son, 1 hour a day. And let's meet in 30 days. And in 2 weeks, the teacher came back to the chairman and said, what did you do to that boy? And the old chairman smiled and he said, I did nothing with the boy, I worked on the dad. Often we create our own turbulence by neglecting to spend time with God. The price of independence is loneliness. Often when riches set in, we begin to lose our dependence on God and on riches than rather than our Heavenly Father. Listen, friends, you can soon become a sad, unfulfilled, and lonely man with your family. Your dear wife, whom you promised before God and witnesses to love and to cherish, and your children, a gift from God, are home feeling sad and neglected, and it happens way, way too much. We cannot, at the expense of our family, overexert ourselves in business and not expect a casualty. Delegate your workload out at work, not your responsibilities at home. You can hire a man to work most of the night to fix or repair or weld your equipment, but you cannot afford to hire someone to take your son fishing. I love to work, folks. I love to work. I do. I work a lot of days. I work 14 hours. I work 16 hours. And you say, well, then why are you up there having this presentation? But I make sure that I have some time with my family. There's times that you have to finish a project, but make sure that you're connected with your family. Most of my best memories of times with my children were out hunting and fishing. I don't know why it is that my two youngest daughters, they love when I go with them into the tree stand. And the night before deer season, we'll go to the dollar store and we'll get Snickers and we'll get Cheetos and drinks. And we'll have our heater and everything ready. And we go out the next morning and we're sitting in this, we got these muddy tree stands. They're elevated up and they're insulated and we got heat in there. And I don't know what it is, but for some reason, we're not in there long and they get these giggling fits. And I don't know why do we ever get a deer unless they're grunting them in. I don't understand it, but... Page 35, knowing what really makes a difference can make all the difference. The potter's focus is to first to create the inner space, for once the inside is complete, the outside shows its grace. A former heavyweight champion stated, when the action starts in the ring, you're down to your reflexes. That's where your road work shows. If you cheated in the dark of the morning on that, you're getting found out under the bright lights. If you want to see where one develops into a champion, look at his daily routine, his diet, his exercise, his diligence, and his commitment. It's hard work to be a daddy. It is, folks. It's really hard work to be a daddy. And if you're going to be a good one, you're going to have to start long before daylight and spending time with God and in His Word. I have this little fellow with me for probably 25 years. I'm so intrigued with him. I don't know which one you'd rather be, the fishbowl or the dog. Both are in a predicament. But if you look at family life, if you look at your business, that would be quite a challenge. But that's sometimes how I feel. Right now we're on the building committee. We're food committee. I'm funeral director. I'm building a sawmill. I'm CEO at the mill that we sold in Greensburg. And sometimes you feel like you're pulled every direction, but you're going to have to prioritize and connect with your family, or you're going to miss it. A leader is one who knows the way, and he goes the way, and he shows the way. Let me tell you a story. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning in June here in Seneca Falls. The schedule for the Yoder family, and I want you to put in there, Sensing Byler, whoever you are, you put your name in there. The schedule for the family is completely full. Mom knows Daddy's plate is full and he's stressed out. Monday morning, he mowed the 15 acres of alfalfa hay on their 200-acre farm, and it's ready to bale. They're hoping that the proceeds from this hay will pay for the second quarter farm payment, and there is a bill laying on the desk for an overhaul for the John Deere 3020 that's not been paid yet. 2 weeks ago, the Brotherhood decided to move ahead with building the new schoolhouse, and they had been talking about for the last 5 years. Now the drawings finalized, permits purchased, they're ready to start moving dirt. They put together a three-man building committee, and Mr. Yoder was voted in to be head of the building committee and make it happen. In February, the local rep for CEM from church had asked for a hand raise on all could go to Alabama and help rebuild at a site where a tornado had gone through. And at the time, the schedule looked permissive, and he had raised his hand. After he raised his hand, they came to him and asked him if he would consider to be the coordinator director. Now the opening for CM project is the third full week in June, and just last night she had heard him on the phone, and his employer that he works for part-time building pole sheds asked that he please would work every day possible for the next 2 weeks. There's a barn that needs to be done soon. She also knows that tonight is Bible study. And when she was cleaning his office, she noticed that he has a topic, and his theme was Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit, and he's focusing on long-suffering, gentleness, and temperance. Do you get it? This is real stuff, okay? It happens to us. He's a busy man. So here stands Mom looking out the kitchen window, watching Daddy quickly mow the lawn that should have been mowed last Saturday, but he was helping the deacon who had a cow down and asked for help. When all of a sudden the mower comes to a complete stop and shuts off, and a dart goes through her heart when she sees Daddy jump off the mower and reach down and picks up a bow and arrow that lays in front of the mower. She watches as he goes over to the sandbox where the boys are playing in the sand. Jimmy 7 and Joey 4 are building a castle. He goes over and he grabs him by his shoulder and he drags him back to a white oak tree, takes a wooden arrow out of the quiver and thrashes him and says, "Son, if you don't ever learn to take care of your stuff, you're not going to amount to a thing." And he takes them back in the sandbox, jumps back on his mower, and back to mowing his grass. He finishes mowing, and he jumps on the 3020 that's hooked up to a baler, a kicker baler, and the wagon, and off he goes back out into the field. And Mom's heart yearns for her two sons that are sitting there in the sandbox and have lost their mood. The day swiftly passes by. Susie is 2 years old and is into everything. The boys have lost their mood in the sandbox and comes into play. And Mom is expecting their fourth child and excited to have another little gift from God around Thanksgiving. About 5 o'clock, Mom's got the ham sandwiches ready. She's got soup in the crock pot and it's ready for Daddy when he comes home. Daddy comes flying in about 6 o'clock. He comes flying in, parks the tractor in the barn, and he's made it. He's got his hay baled. And a clap of thunder hits out into the skies, but he's just made it. He comes in and he takes a shower, and he comes out to eat. Mom has stuff ready. They sit down to eat, and it's a little subdued. Daddy feels a tension, and he tries to say a little something to try and break it up a little bit, and Jimmy don't have anything to say. Mom feels the tension and is just sort of quiet. Daddy's showered, he's ate, he's still got about 20 minutes before church, and he sits down and looks at his notes that he wants to have at the topic at church. They get ready to go for church, and Mom makes sure that everybody's ready in good time. For once she was late, and it won't happen again. The repercussions were not good from Daddy. We will not be late for church. They get to church. On the ride there, as they go riding there, it's a little tense. They drive past the sandbox, and nobody says anything about time spending at the sandbox. The children are a little fussy, and Mom tries hard to keep them quiet to not get on Daddy's nerves. They get to church in plenty of time, and they sing three songs, and Daddy gives out the third song, and the song is Take Time to Be Holy, Speak Off with Thy Lord. Daddy gets up and stands in front of the congregation and leads out a discussion on long-suffering and gentleness. Jimmy is sort of confused, and Mom sits there with a lump in her throat. They get home from church, Daddy's dead tired, and the family kneels down to prayer before everyone goes to bed. And after prayer, Daddy is off to bed, a long, stressful day, and in 10 minutes, he's snoring away. Mom tucks the little ones into bed, and he kisses them on their little foreheads and wishes them sweet dreams. And she goes out, and she cleans up the house. She puts a few things away, then she goes and gets herself ready and goes into bed and lays beside their man that's snoring away. And she wonders what happened to the bygone years when they were young married. He seems distant. He seems stressed, sort of irritable. Let's move out 7 years, and Jimmy is 14. It's the last day of school, and he's running home from school, and he's kicking a Coke can as he runs. He kicks it in front of him, and he comes up to it, and he kicks it again, and once it lands in the ditch. He runs over to pick up the Coke can, and there lays a magazine. He picks the magazine up, and he looks at it, and he gets a hot feeling. A warm sensation comes over, and it fills a hurt, vacant spot in his life. The pictures are awful. They're terrible. He tucks it in his coat pocket, and he takes off for home. He comes in the lane, and there's Daddy out under the machine shed in the lean-to. He's got the torch out, and he's heating up a piece of steel and has got the sledgehammer out, and he's beating it. He looks up, and he sees Jimmy, but he makes no acknowledgement of Jimmy. Jimmy runs on by, and he says, "Keep beating the steel, Daddy. You'll get her straight after a while." He walks on into the house, and Mom meets him with a smile and shoves out a cookie she just freshly baked. He grabs one, turns around, and kicks his shoes off and heads upstairs with his coat still on. Mom sees it sort of unusual but doesn't say anything, and Jimmy gets up in his bedroom and he takes the magazine out of his coat pocket and he puts it in between the mattress. Be there for later. Life continues on in the Yoder home. Jimmy grows a little older. Jimmy becomes irritable, becomes angry. Jimmy talks back to his dad, and Dad only brings the iron hand down stronger. We're not going to have a rebellious son in my home. We move out another 7 years, and Jimmy is 21. He can no longer work with Dad. They can't get along, and he goes and works for a framer, framing spec houses. He comes home one evening with a nice, shiny diesel pickup, pulls into the driveway, and Dad hits the ceiling. Gets extremely angry and said, "There's no truck like that sitting in my driveway." Jimmy goes up into his room and Mom pleads with him. "Daddy," he said, "would you please try and connect with your son?" Makes no headways with Daddy. Daddy only gets firmer, and he tells his son that the truck's not staying here in this driveway. Saturday morning, Jimmy comes down and he says, "I've got my things packed, I'm leaving." Mom and Joey stand there and watch Jimmy leave, and they watch him as long as they can. He rounds a curve and he's gone. They hear very little from him. Jimmy's gone. He doesn't want any part of a Christian life that lives like Daddy does. Story 2. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning in Seneca Falls, New York. The schedule for the Yoder family is completely full. Mom knows Daddy's plate is full and he's stressed out, and everything is the same as the first story. We've got youth leaders, we've got lawns to be mowed, we've got CM projects, we've got topics. Everything's the same as the first story. Keep that in mind as we go into the next one. Mom stands in the window and watches her husband go back and forth with a lawnmower, and her heart wells up with warmth and says, "I'm so grateful to be married to that man." And as she's watching out the window, she hears a lawnmower shut off. And she looks, and Daddy gets off the mower, goes over to the sandbox and sits down and says, "Jimmy, what are you building?" And he says, "Look, Dad, I'm building a castle." And Daddy helps him for 5 minutes and says, "Son, you need to come with me." Jimmy and Daddy take a walk over to the lawnmower. They reach down and they pick up a bow and arrow and they take a walk to the house. They walk into the office, into the study. Daddy takes Jimmy on his lap and says, "Son, I would really like for you to bear some personal responsibility." He opens up a drawer and he pulls out that dreaded instrument that, when applied to the backside properly, it does work. After he has spanked his son, he takes him up on his lap and he says, "Son, I love you." And he gives him a hug. He said, "You're going to grow up to be a fine young man." Jimmy follows Daddy over to the mower. I read that. When he picked up the bow. After discipline is done, Daddy says, "Jimmy, I love you," and he gives him a hug, and he says, "Learn to take good care of your toys. One day you'll grow up to be a fine young man." Mom is out in the kitchen and hears every word, and her heart is filled with gratitude toward her Heavenly Father for a strong Daddy who has time and a busy schedule to train and guide her boys as they grow. Daddy finishes up the lawn, parks the mower, and jumps on his 40-20, and off he goes out the lane with the baler and the wagon. About 11 o'clock, Mom says, "Jimmy, go out in the freezer, go out in the fridge, and bring me some deer bologna that you and Daddy made last fall." They fix a lunch, and they go out, and they come out on the farm, and Daddy sees the family coming with the lunch. And he comes up, flying up the farm lane, bales just a flying, and he comes up and shuts off his tractor, and he says, "Man, this looks good, thank you." He gets off the tractor, and they're eating his bologna, and he says, "Boy, this hits the spot." He said, "Remember, boys, what a beautiful, crisp, frosty morning it was when we shot him. The old fella dropped like a rock when I pulled the trigger." And the boys acknowledge, they remember well, they were with Dad in the tree stand. "I think this will hold me over till after church tonight, Mom. Why don't you go home and do the chores? I'm going to bail till 6 o'clock, and I'll come flying in, and I'll get ready, and we'll go to church. After church, we'll eat supper." Mom goes home, and she gets the goats and the pigs and the chickens fed, and at 6 o'clock, here comes Daddy flying in the lane. Parks his alfalfa in the barn, and mission accomplished, and there's a clap of thunder. He goes in and he gets showered, and he's got a few minutes before he has to go to church, and he goes out and sits on the chair, and here comes Susie and Joey running out and jump on his lap, and Jimmy stands beside him, and Daddy tells him a little bit about his day. He said, "I was baling and I seen the cutest set of fawns, and I seen a covey of quail, and I seen a little rabbit, and he said, I seen a black snake slithered about." They go off to church, and as they're going out to church, they come past the sandbox, and Dad asks, "How did it go, boys, after I went out baling?" And both Joey and Jimmy don't go. They start in and say what for castle they made, and Daddy says, "Must have turned out to be a dandy, boys." He said, "I can't wait till you get older. You can go with me on the carpenter crew, and you'll be some fine help." And Jimmy says, "Yep, Dad, maybe I can go along and keep the tool trailer neat, keep all the tools picked up." Let's move out 7 years. Let me finish. I got ahead of myself. The family arrives at church. They get seated just as the first song is sung. The third song is led by Daddy, "Take time to be holy, speak oft with the Lord, abide in him always and lean on his word." Daddy gets up and he has his topic, and Jimmy says some things start to make some sense to him. Daddy's long-suffering, Daddy's kind, and Mom says, "Now there's a man that walks the talk." The family gets home, Daddy gets the children's PJs on while Mom gets supper table ready. Him and the boys pick up some toys and they put the dishes away that's in the drainer. They eat supper, and then Daddy takes and tucks the children into bed and tells them a story again of the fawn and the quail and the black snake that slithered away. Mom and Dad go to bed, and another long day on the farm has come to an end at the Yoder home. They talk a while into the evening, and they express a feeling of gratitude to their Heavenly Father for the blessing showered upon them that day. It was a long day. It was a hard day. I'm not trying to make a presentation that everything in life is going to be easy when you prioritize. It's still full. It's still stressful. But there's a certain way to handle it. Let's move out 7 years. Jimmy's 14. It's the last day of school, and he's running home, and he's kicking a Coke can. As he kicks it, he comes upon a magazine, and he looks at it, and he said, "Ugh, what's this?" And he sticks it in his coat pocket, and he runs home, and he's running in the lane, and there's Daddy working on the baler. And he runs up to Daddy and says, "Dad, look, what's this?" Dad takes one look at it and says, "Son, where did you get that?" And the son says, "Daddy, I found it beside the road." And he says, "Son, we need to have a talk." He pushes out a 5-gallon bucket of oil, and he says, "Sit down, son." And he takes that magazine over and takes a torch and burns it to a crisp and comes over and sits on a bucket himself. And he starts to explain the beauty of marriage. He starts talking about a few facts in life, some changes that your body goes through. "Daddies, if you don't talk to your boys by the time they're 14 or 15, somebody else will. Do you want an English neighbor? Do you want a taxi driver? Do you want a plumber to explain to your son? Or do you want a good, solid, wholesome from you as a daddy?" Be kind to that beautiful woman God gave you, and especially when she's with child. If you work and work and preach and teach while you're young and you fail to connect closely with feeling and love for your wife and your little ones before they can walk or talk, you're very likely going to find yourself on top one day and find yourself a lonely man. Jimmy's 19 and he wants a pickup. So one Saturday, Daddy says, "Boys, let's go look for a truck." They go out and they shop around and they find one, and they find a truck they like, and they buy it, and they're just tickled pink. Jimmy's 20, and the phone rings one evening, and it's a school board, and they're asking if Jimmy would teach. And they're not sure what to do. They were just considering of buying a mini barn business, but now they're not sure should they or should they not, so they talk it over with the boys, and they say, "It's up to you, Dad, whatever you think's best." And Dad says, "We have enough, son, go teach." We go out a few years, and the family's sitting in the living room. Slowly, Joey and Susie and Abigail linger off to bed, and Jimmy stays sitting there. Finally, when everything's quiet, Jimmy says, "Dad, what do you think of Andrew Beil or Sarah?" Mom gets a twinkle in her eyes, and Dad gets a smile and says, "She's a good girl. Go for it, son." You move out 3 years, and they're sitting on the third row in church, and there's three young families sitting up there, and there's an ordination at the church, and they watch as the lot is cast in the lap of their son. What made the difference, friends? Do you think 5 minutes at the sandbox made a difference? Don't hear the word in Daniel, "Tickle," was found, was weighed in a balance and found wanting. Thank you.